It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast. As we talk property, of course, we're doing that 7 days a week on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And it already seems like so much has happened in this year for 2024, but definitely less rocky compared to last year in 2023. Not the jarring ups and downs that we experienced last year. That wasn't good for any heart palpitations within people, although I have to say that we're still not out of this uncharted waters. The property market is still stressed and there isn't any magic fixes on the horizon. Plenty of auctions too around Australia in the weekend, and if you were in attendance, I hope you were successful. If you were not at any auctions, then perhaps it was just a relaxing weekend for you. We are back into a Monday, the 29th day for April today. And last week we were talking about the housing affordability in Australia, which has reached its lowest point in over two decades, impacting both prospective homeowners and low-income renters. Of course, we were talking about the latest ANZ housing affordability report, and the average income needed to service a new mortgage has risen to 48.9%. That is up from 43.1% a year ago. And joining us to help make sense of it all and break it all down for the first time is Blair Chapman. He is an ANZ senior economist. And g'day there, Blair. Good to have you on the podcast this morning.
G'day. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Now, the ANZ affordability report, it really does highlight this significant increase in the portion of income required and needed to service a new mortgage. Can you elaborate and share with our listeners this morning on factors contributing to the rise?
The two biggest factors really are house prices themselves and the interest rate on mortgages. So over the last year, we've seen the RBA continue to increase interest rates and banks have passed those on to their customers. And unlike when interest rates started to rise really quickly and we saw house prices begin to fall, we've actually started to see house prices grow again with that real big demand in supply imbalance that we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, and in Sydney, the proportion of income required to service a new loan for a house, as I mentioned, it's risen to over 74%. I mean, it's a staggering statistic for those trying to enter the housing market, especially in Sydney.
Yeah, it's a big number. I think what we've really got an issue with in Sydney is the availability of housing, or particularly houses. So when you look at units, obviously the number hasn't gone up anywhere near as much. And it really is that house on the block of land that's really gone up and become sort of unaffordable in Sydney, much more so than apartments and units.
And the time, of course, that it takes to save for this deposit, now it's increased to 10.3 years. That is nationwide. So how is this extended saving period affecting prospective home buyers, and what are you seeing around that?
Yeah, so it can really be off-putting because it is such a long time now for people to save. And I think we have seen first home buyers sort of fade out of the market a little recently, but I think there's now a fear of missing out. And for those who have got close to the deposit, they're really starting to come back into the market right now.
And with the re-acceleration of this rental growth and ongoing rise in home values, what do you see as some of the big challenges in terms of the first home buyers to break into the market?
Yeah, so it's very challenging to be paying ever-increasing rents at the moment and also saving for a deposit to get into the housing market as a first home buyer. And really, we're seeing people being pushed out from sort of high-cost rental areas into lower-cost areas, and then that's pushing people who are already in those areas further out as well. So we're really seeing the sort of demand flow through different markets as people look to find more affordable rentals.
Now, being an economist, clearly you guys are looking at the metrics and the housing affordability metrics. Now, they've deteriorated across most major cities except for Melbourne. So people in Melbourne this morning can feel a little bit relieved about that aspect. But can you explain why Melbourne has seen a slight improvement in this area?
Yeah, so unlike, say, Perth or Adelaide or even Brisbane, where house prices have been growing quite dramatically, the house prices in Melbourne haven't quite been growing anywhere as quickly. And so they're not facing the same increase in prices that we're seeing elsewhere. And there's also a lot of development in the sort of outer parts of Melbourne that are seeing supply being added to. Even if it's not enough supply, it is helping to relieve sort of pressure on prices to go up.
And we are talking to Blair Chapman this morning, who is a ANZ senior economist, and we'll come back after this and talk more property.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
Well, you might remember last year there was all of this talk about the empty homes across Australia. And while we have this shortage of homes, we know that there are over 1 million homes sitting empty. And despite the argument that unoccupied homes makes the housing shortage worse, analysis reveals various reasons for these vacancies, from renovations to holiday homes. But as the housing crisis intensifies, there is still talk by many about this empty homes tax, which is similar to what Canada has. Because if you believe the numbers, 1 in 10 homes across Australia are empty. But whilst there is a lot of this talk about the home tax if they just lay idle with nobody in them, at the moment, that's all it seems to be, is just talk.
We talk to some of the most influential figures in the real estate industry, from leading commentators to investors to real estate principals, only on The Real Estate Podcast.
And it's a Real Estate Monday. We are back talking with Blair Chapman. And being an economist there at ANZ, of course, there's all sorts of commentators around Australia weighing into the real estate market. I wonder if you agree with many of these commentators that are saying many aspiring homeowners are effectively locked out of the market due to insufficient borrowing capacities, because it has sort of gone backwards for many people.
Yeah, so when interest rates rise as much as they have, it really does become difficult to assess borrowing capacity when you've got to think about it's not just the current rate, but it's the current rate plus a little bit more that borrowers need to have to be able to service. And we've really seen that skyrocket over the last couple of years with the RBA interest rate increases.
Now, I mentioned at the top that this year, yep, there's a lot that's happened in 2024, but it's not as crazy as what it was last year. And to that extent, do you believe that the housing affordability is likely to improve once these interest rates start to fall? And of course, as a result of that, more supply is added into the market. I mean, this is such a contentious issue within real estate.
Yeah, so historically, whenever we've seen rates cut, we see prices go up, but we also see more supply come on board. And so there's a bit of a catch-22. The serviceability sort of gets better, but prices might go up just because more people get into the market because they're able to because of the interest rate declines. So yeah, we're expecting interest rate cuts towards the end of the year, and we think that should help folks' affordability, but it is going to take some time before we see that extra supply that we're expecting to actually come on board.
And just off the back of that, would you be surprised to see the cash rate go up between now and the end of the year?
Given the volatility we've seen in inflation recently, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's not our base case. So, you know, there are some commentators suggesting that the interest rate needs to go up again after last week's CPI, but we're of the view that the RBA can be patient. They know that their actions do take, you know, 12 months to 2 years to sort of have an impact. And, you know, the last time they increased rates was only in the last quarter of last year. So that's still sort of flowing through to the economy right now. And we don't think it's the likely case that rates will go up.
Yeah, because the CPI numbers, a lot of the commentators have said, well, look at those CPI numbers. It's not great. And there could very well be in this next round, the cash rate going up. So you're saying let's not knee-jerk too much as a result, because the RBA's probably got enough patience to just ride that one through.
Yeah, so if you look at what happened last year, we saw a similar sort of bounce in CPI towards the end of last year, and then it came down again, and now it's bounced again. And what we did get is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction last year, where the RBA upped their forecast for inflation. They increased the cash rate in November, but we would note that they didn't go again in December. They were happy that that one rate increase was enough, and then we saw their forecast for inflation come down in February. And basically, last week's numbers will just push them back to that November sort of forecast path for inflation. Their actions suggest that they thought that one increase in November was enough to sort of bring back in line with their objectives.
And just finally, how do you see the recent tax cuts and potential increases in building, particularly in the high density sector, impacting housing affordability in the coming months?
Yeah, so with more people having more money in their pockets later this year after the tax cuts are actually implemented, they're obviously going to be able to service higher rents and pay higher mortgage costs. Rather than going to the tax man, it's going to go to the property market. And so affordability from that sense should increase. And then, yeah, more high-density dwellings will definitely help out. And I think it's one of the things that people forget, that there is houses and there are units, and there is still a fair gap between the two in terms of prices.
Especially none more so than when you have a look at the Sydney price gap between those two.
Yeah, it's a pretty big gap. Definitely, if you want to be close to the CBD, then dwellings are the much cheaper option.
All right then, Blair. Well, thanks for all of that. Great to have you on the podcast this morning. Enjoy your Monday, and we'll talk again perhaps in the future.
Thanks. You have a good Monday too.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
Certainly some people didn't like it. Certainly some people didn't want to go in it. And one of our many children sort of shed a few tears when we were going to be staying there one night. So look, if you don't want to stay there, you don't have to. But one of my old mates slept under the gallows. Some of our mates are as crazy as us.
The jail, it's a sad place. It is despair, depravity. There's a loss of freedom. I mean, how do you sort of go from what I just described into a more of an uplifting environment?
The first time we stepped into the building, it felt very much like an institution. And for us, I guess that guiding goal of trying to transform the very sense of how you felt when you walked in, you could almost feel like you were walking through, you know, a Mediterranean villa or a European castle.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.